Good day.
And welcome to Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm your host, Adam Johnston, for Thursday, October 3rd, 2024. In this week's episode, On the Brink, we talk about the state of our city. A recent Winnipeg Free Press poll suggests a lack of faith by Winnipeggers and our current mayor and city council on dealing with key issues ranging from crime, roads, and traffic. We'll take a look at this from the perspective of active and public transportation and how that might impact the 2026 civic election. Plus, we'll take a look at some events and maybe some news. That's all this week on Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. And again, thank you very much for allowing us to come into your homes on the radio here again this week here on Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. Again, I'm your host, Adam Johnston, and again, we've just approached the first week of October here as we are settling in the fall and as we begin to think of the end of the year and obviously looking to our future. And in this case, we look at future Winnipeg here, this week's episode. With a civic election just over 2 years away, many Winnipeggers are having not much hope for our city and its leadership. Recently, according to a Winnipeg Free Press probe research poll released, showed a lot of what many challenges face here in the city of Winnipeg. And this poll revealed a lot about how we not only view our city, but possibly the lack of confidence Winnipeggers have in our current civic administration. The poll found 53% of respondents said traffic was getting worse, 41% said traffic remained the same, while a minuscule 3% said it was getting better. On the issue of streets and road conditions, 50% said that the streets of Winnipeg are deteriorating, 34% said it was the status quo, with 14% of residents saying road and street conditions are improving. When it comes to our downtown, 59% of those polled said our downtown area is getting worse, with 30% saying it's remained the same, and 7% saying it's getting or gotten better. Winnipeg's perception of crime and public safety is also not very good. 56% said that crime is getting worse, 29% saying it has remained the same, with 3% saying it's getting better. And lastly, when it comes to housing affordability, also, our residents have a very extremely dim view on this. 68% of Winnipeggers said it's becoming harder to find an affordable home to buy a rent. 26% suggest it's remained the same, while a very, very, very minimal 1% said it's actually gotten better. Now, Curtis Brown of Probe Research had this to say to the Winnipeg Free Press regarding this poll. Quote, "The numbers are clear and pretty negative," said Brown. Unquote. Quote, "Winnipeggers don't think the city is in a good spot right now. The majorities on the big issues say things are deteriorating and getting worse. People are not seeing things going well right now. People don't have a sense of things getting any better," unquote, said Brown. In all fairness, these numbers seem like an honest reflection where the city has gone in recent years on most of the above issues. Let's take roads and streets, for example. There's always constant potholes every spring. How can you not forget? We're pretty much the pothole capital of Canada, I think. Or we make it sure sound it that way anyway. Now, potholes have become a rite of passage every spring. It's usually here how city officials deal with potholes. It's usually the same wash, rinse, repeat cycle where heavier, larger vehicles are driving on the road, creating bigger wear and tear on our city's roads. Now you add two more freeze and thaw cycles that happen frequently due to a warming planet, and you have the best recipe possible for potholes in the spring, also what I know that I like to call as pothole magic. We continuously are patching up potholes, and the cycle continues every year. Now, according to CTV News, by July 2024, there was 179,620 potholes were filled in the city. Meanwhile, Global News in 2022 alone noted that there were 5,400 pothole claims put in by drivers to MPI. Yes, in 2022, that was 5,400 pothole claims by drivers to MPI, which is quite a lot. Now, sadly, the worst of the pothole road condition problems is in mature, older neighborhoods like in the North End, the West End, downtown, in my area of Elmwood, and even parts of East Kelowna, which is a little bit younger than Elmwood, but you get the point. For example, Trent Avenue in East Kelowna earlier this year had massive potholes you could create a flower pot for, or put flowers in those potholes. This is all common on Trent Avenue every time. Meanwhile, this is happening also on Talbot Avenue in Elmwood. As well, while going on numerous commuter bike rides in recent years, I've seen this in many streets in the West End where these streets are beyond very, very poor shape and the potholes are the size of moon craters. Now, when it comes to traffic, this is another issue where the public actually gets this right. Traffic is bad. It's really bad. Now, as a cyclist, along with someone who takes public transportation and who does not drive a car, I would have much different view on how I view traffic compared to motorists. For example, a few years ago, taking the bus back from where I used to work way down in St. James at the Liberty Tax location, headed towards downtown, it was not surprising. I would take the 21, and that bus would often be delayed an extra 15 minutes to half hour, even 40 minutes, as cars would clog up downtown, especially around the Canada Life Center, creating frustration for not only motor vehicles, but buses and us passengers on the Winnipeg Transit bus. Or, what about traffic light synchronization? As someone is waiting for a green light to cross the street on a major intersection, it's really frustrating. Where you have to wait 2 to 4 minutes, sometimes 5, like Region Lajabode, then get seconds to cross. Or Exhibit B, Assiniboine Avenue and Main Street, where often too many people, aka drivers, are turning right on red and not looking and nearly hitting cyclists and pedestrians. As well, I could easily count the number of times on my hand where drivers do not stop properly at lights at Assiniboine and Main, as well at any stop sign in general. It's a major problem for sure. Now, Gillingham noted in the Winnipeg Free Press that Winnipeg is spending a record, yes, a record $138 million on road construction. Now, as for crime and public safety, I do think that there is issues here that need to be addressed, especially with shoplifting and solving the root causes of it. We have heard recent studies that Winnipeg ranks high frequently in terms of lack of safety in relation to crime. But I want to add another layer of safety concerns that is truly that is just as criminal besides robbing a store or threatening someone with a knife, and that is safety of pedestrians and cyclists by reckless driving. Our show has clearly documented the challenges facing our active transportation community, almost every show, practically. This year, the number of cycling and pedestrian deaths caused by car collisions has surpassed 2023, and this was in August that this occurred. For long stretches this year on the show, it would not be uncommon for me to read a story of a pedestrian or cyclist being severely injured or killed by a car almost every week on the show. Now, this summer, it reached another notch, reaching a pinnacle when cyclist Rob Jenner was killed by a motorist on Wellington Crescent. A couple weeks later, and a couple of days after a memorial for him, a cyclist was injured on Wellington and Academy in late July. Then in August, on Redwood and Main around there, an Indigenous pedestrian was killed. And then on Labor Day weekend, Labor Day evening to be exact, Tammy Bateman, another Indigenous person, was ran over by a Winnipeg police car at Fort Rouge Park that Labor Day evening. Yes, we do have a safety problem far beyond what that poll can comprehend with driving. And if you think it's gotten better since the pandemic in terms of driving, you're quite wrong. Polls in recent years in both the US and Canada suggest that driving has actually gotten worse since the pandemic, as many drivers during that time frame picked up extremely bad habits during that period. Now, as things have begun to get normal again, many of those habits that drivers have picked up have remained with them, as the return to car culture has surged. As for our housing costs, they are definitely have gone up. Studies have shown that Winnipeg rents for a one-bedroom apartment are rising faster than any of all major Canadian cities, with an average monthly rent of $1,480. Add to that the constant issues of wages that cannot keep up with this, and you understand the frustration amongst people trying to find affordable housing out of all places here in Winnipeg, which we have proclaimed for the longest time as one of the more affordable cities to live in across the country. In all this, the public's patience with city council and the mayor seems to look like it's starting to lack confidence, and being that Winnipegers are becoming more and more frustrated. The Free Press poll, despite the mayor having a 49% approval rating and city council 45%, Winnipegers do not think our civic government is doing a great job to solve these problems. 59% of respondents say they are not optimistic that council and the mayor, Scott Gilliam, will solve our biggest challenges. 41% said they're optimistic that things might turn around with help from City Hall, while a low 3% said they were very optimistic that things might change for the better. Gilliam acknowledged the concerns and told the Free Press that, quote, "There are areas of these key issues that I am not satisfied with the progress we're making," unquote. Gilliam told the Free Press. Quote, Gilliam also mentioned that, quote, "We're working very hard, but some of these issues are going to take a long time to address." Quote, "Sometimes these take longer to fix than we would want, or certainly what I would want," unquote. Gilliam said the city is spending, as I mentioned earlier, $138 million on road construction during this year. And the Free Press also mentioned that he recently gave the go-ahead for the $650 million plan to help redevelop the Portage Place area, so that'll be interesting to see what happens there. And Gilliam also goes on to say in the Free Press that, quote, "The need to get the downtown redeveloped, traffic, housing, all these are issues that every city is facing, so we're certainly not alone when it comes to having these issues as our core challenges," Gilliam told the Free Press, unquote. Now, certainly, this city has its challenges, but many of these issues that Winnipegers see not being the problem are finally come home to roost by a city council that has failed to address many of the root causes of these issues. Whether it's the housing crisis, transportation, or finding the root causes of crime, we are seeing it now. It was reflected in the last civic election, in terms of the apathy, where only 37% of the city's population even dare voted in the 2026 civic election, and that, 10% of that 37% voted for Scott Gilliam, with 27.54%, followed by Glenn Murray, 25%, then Kevin Clyde at 14.78%, and Sean Loney at 14.66%. Last election shows how divided the city was on the direction we want to go. And I believe these results were the total turnout at a pathetic 37% of the city, or the four-way near split of votes is a reflection that I see in our confidence of where our city is going. And we are seeing that now. Our city financially is on the brink of going broke, as that's been clearly documented by fellow urbanist blogger, the Elmwood guy. I recommend you check his blog. He's very detailed about it. And yet, we're potentially mortgaging our future away on expanding Kennison Boulevard when we truly need to make transportation more affordable and sustainable by connecting our active transportation network, lowering bus fares for all, so that more people can take the bus, and yes, maybe even make it more secure for everyone to take. As more people ride the bus, more people feel safe. At the same time, like I said, this will increase safety and ensure that safety. When you have more people take the bus, and more people will feel safe, like I said just now. And when we get more people taking the bus and cycling and walking, our cities will become more dense. When Paris costs will become much, much more lower, when we're able to walk, bike, or bus, and as our city becomes more dense, and that is from lower transportation costs, thus more people can afford housing, and more people will be able to come downtown. Yet, to solve many of the challenges facing downtown, I do believe a lot of it is a poverty issue in terms of reducing crime and getting right down to the issues that do affect poverty and crime in general. Like, we need to have better mental health supports. Obviously, that's being worked on by our new provincial government, so I'll be interested to see where that goes, hopefully. But yet, we truly are not addressing the root causes of crime, like poverty, like I said, despite the rhetoric. We have police and the justice system that goes at the surface of crime and not beyond it, and we need to look at this directly. We need to ensure that there are mental supports for those people who do have mental health issues and get them the help they need. We also need to look at how we do our policing here, perhaps maybe looking at a more community policing model to ensure that police are walking around, getting to know the neighborhood, getting them out of their cars, which I think is part of the problem. If our police department ever decides to adopt to some sort of community-based policing model, I think this would be a good step to at least de-escalate a lot of the issues that the police do get criticized. And once, if this ever does happen, that police do get that opportunity to get around their neighborhoods more often, I think some of the issues in terms of racism would decline a little bit. I can't say for sure, but I think if police department would get to know our neighborhoods better, I think that'd be part of the challenge, and that it would be reduced, and people would feel more comfortable, and to be a little bit more trust built. Because there's a bit of a trust issue there with a lot of the police department currently that's been clearly documented. So I think that'd be a big step moving forward if we're going to solve some of the problems of crime here in the city. But in terms of the 2026 civic election, these are the big issues heading into it in 2 years, around that time. We don't know what that civic election is going to look like. We don't know who's running. There's still a lot of time. There's still a lot of potential candidates that will come out of the woodwork, I'm sure. Whether at the municipal council level or running for mayor, we don't know yet. We don't know who are the favorites. You could pick a straw right now. But regardless, as we head into 2025 and 2026, it'd be interesting to see what City Hall does. For the first time in a long time, city councilors pretty much are, I wouldn't say in trouble, but they certainly are going to start feeling the heat of trying to solve these issues. And that, for the first time, maybe in a long time, perhaps the 2026 election might not be a cakewalk for incumbent city councilors and even our mayor, if the right candidates come along. Good progressive candidates that will take a stand on changing how we look at how police is done, how we get around the city, allocating money to invest our communities, ensuring that we have the best active transportation network that we can here in Winnipeg, and eventually build that to be one of the best in Canada. Turn around our Winnipeg transit system to be one of the best transit systems in all of Canada. Sure, it could take a long time, but if we get the right people in City Hall that can work together with a provincial government that has like-minded values, anything's possible. And that's part of the issue as well. People have to understand it's not just City Hall that impacts these issues. It's also the provincial government in terms of crime, but lesser extent, even the federal government at certain levels. I can't say what, but mostly it's our City Hall as well as our provincial government. And our provincial government does have a lot to say on crime, as they are the governing body on making those rules there. So we'll be seeing a lot there. Not only that, but also they also affect how money goes to municipalities, and that also affects transit service. So, but regardless, the Winnipeg civic election 2 years away, based on this poll, as we've seen lately, people are frustrated. People want answers. Sure, some of those answers are not going to come right away, as there needs to be better collaboration between City Hall and our Manitoba government. But with a civic election coming, there's lots of opportunity for change. And that means people have to go out and vote. Not only that, but we have to ensure that the right candidates do step up and show up that will advocate for that change, rather than to advocate for apathy that we have seen in our past civic elections. And we're going to take a short break here, musical break here on Not Necessarily the Automobile on 101.5 UMFM. And after we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some events and maybe some news. So stay tuned. And welcome back here to Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. Again, I am your host, Adam Johnston, here for this Thursday, October 3rd, 2024. Again, thank you very much for listening. Hope you have enjoyed the episode so far. And after this, you know it's Thursday, and at noon, you know that means it's Democracy Now! Featuring Amy Goodman. So like I always say, come for news on active and public transportation, and then stay for news about global democracy with one of the best hosts in the world, Amy Goodman. That's Democracy Now! At noon on 101.5 UMFM. So please stay tuned for that. So, in terms of events within the cycling community, Winnipeg, It is October and it is getting cooler sooner, so there's less and less events to pick from. But we do have, it looks like, the first Friday's Bike-In. They have been somewhat, from my understanding, pretty successful this summer, and now that it's fall, this looks like it's winding down, it looks like. But we have one, like I said, this Friday, October 4th, and it's coming from the St. James Empress Wolseley area. Starts at 6:30 at Assiniboine Park footbridge around the Agassiz Ice Sculpture, and then leads down to Owens Creek Park, Sherbrooke, Maryland, Osborne at Assiniboine Avenue, then the Bonnie Castle Park, leading to the Old Market Square at around 7:33 p.m. So looks like that'll be a good time. Hope all can go. I'm tempted to go with this. I'm not sure if I'll be able to, but we'll see. But regardless, hope everyone does get the chance to go to this. I'm sure it'll be a good event, as these types of events are winding down with fall just here now. So if you can get out to it, great. Enjoy it as the weather's still somewhat nice, and that eventually will become winter and snow and cold. And in the news, another year, another Nuit Blanche done, dusted, and in the books. And looks like it was another successful event. Now this year's event had good weather this year, unlike last year where it was raining, and it was free Bike Valet. Bike Winnipeg provided that, so it was, looks like it was a successful event from what I've been told from some of my colleagues within the cycling community who went to it. Lots of good attractions. So, and obviously these types of events are always good for downtown. It gets people out, and that's what we need more of outside of going to Jets games and Sea Bears games. So hopefully, hopefully, like I said, these types of events become more commonplace. People get out to them, enjoy them, and that the more people that enjoy these downtown events, they'll come to this area more. And hopefully, with Port Germain being open to pedestrians, we'll see more of these types of events and parties and turn downtown to become vibrant again. So stay tuned, as downtown will be changing and evolve over the next couple of years, with obviously Port Germain being open to pedestrians, but also with the bay reopening, not the bay, just that with new owners who will turn to completely something different as the bay closes a couple of years and it'll be Indigenous owned. So be exciting to see, as well with the Portage Place looking to be redeveloped. So hopefully exciting times here in Winnipeg downtown despite all the hardships. So we'll look out for that. And that's this week's edition of Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. Again, I'm your host, Adam Johnston. Thank you very much for listening. You can always check out our archives at umfm.com. As well, you can check us out on Twitter at NNTAONUMFM. You can also email us at notnecessarilytheautomobile@gmail.com. Again, I'm your host, Adam Johnston. Thank you very much for listening this week, and we will have another episode next week. Bye for now.